Coffee Break French Magazine, Season 1, Episode 2.
Salut tout le monde! On est de retour, moi c'est Marc.
Et moi c'est Pierre Benoît.
Nous sommes très contents d'être ici avec vous encore une fois.
Comme toujours.
Tout à fait. So welcome back to our podcast. In this episode, as in our previous episode, we've got an interesting text to discuss. We have a very interesting question from one of our listeners. Thank you very much for sending us your questions. We will get to them as soon as we possibly can. And we also have some more interesting language facts with Susie at the end of the show.
Super.
Alors, qu'est-ce que tu racontes de beau cette semaine?
Rien du tout, Marc, sauf que... Non, c'est pas vrai, j'ai commencé à regarder, j'ai envie d'acheter un nouveau piano.
Un nouveau piano, tiens.
Ouais, parce que j'ai envie. C'est bien de changer aussi de temps en temps.
Tout à fait, donc, voilà. Je suis d'accord.
Donc je regarde, je ne sais pas encore, je vais pas dire quelle marque, hein, parce que ça... Mais je voudrais peut-être un gros piano.
Un gros piano?
Ouais.
Un piano à queue?
J'aimerais bien si j'ai la place.
Okay. Now, a piano à queue means a piano with a tail, literally. So it is a grand piano.
Yeah.
But sinon, qu'est-ce qu'on appelle?
Un piano droit.
Un piano droit.
Ouais.
So an upright.
That's your upright piano.
Upright piano. So un piano droit or un piano à queue.
Ouais, je ne sais pas. Ça dépend de la place.
Oui. Et une question, numérique ou acoustique?
J'aimerais bien acoustique, mais maintenant, je pense que c'est mieux si je me décide et si je prends un numérique.
Ouais. Comme ça, tu peux te brancher avec un casque.
Exactement. Comme ça, personne n'entend mes erreurs. D'accord? Ah oui.
OK. We're not talking about music today in our text, but we're talking about literature. So I think it's time to get on with the show. Alors, t'es prêt?
Ouais, c'est parti.
Allez, c'est parti. Alors, aujourd'hui, nous parlons d'un écrivain français.
Oui, ce n'est pas n'importe quel écrivain, Marc. C'est un des plus grands écrivains de France, oui.
I have a little story about this person, Saint-Exupéry. I remember when I first started university, it was my very first French literature tutorial. And I went into this room full of students and they all looked so much more clever than me. And I sat down terrified. I'd never been to this kind of tutorial idea before. Uh-huh. And we were handed a poem and we had to discuss this poem. And it was Saint-Exupéry's Vol de Nuit.
Mm-hmm.
And never having seen it before, I had to look at it and talk about the language and the symbolism and everything. And I was terrified. I wanted to give up my course there and then because it was just something that was so out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, but then you went through it and you did well. You did well. That's it.
Anyway, we're talking about Saint-Exupéry. It's time to listen to our text. So it's over to Susie for our text.
C'est à toi, Susie.
Né à Lyon le 29 juin 1900, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry est un écrivain et aviateur français. Il est le fils de Jean et Marie de Saint-Exupéry, le troisième de cinq enfants. Dès sa jeunesse, il se passionne pour l'aviation. Il obtient son baccalauréat en 1917 à Fribourg, en Suisse, et poursuit des études d'architecture avant de faire son service militaire dans l'armée de l'air à Strasbourg. Après avoir obtenu son brevet de pilote en 1922, il est engagé pour distribuer le courrier en Afrique et en Amérique du Sud. Il commence en même temps à écrire des romans ainsi que des reportages journaliers, notamment sur la guerre civile en Espagne. Pendant la Deuxième Guerre mondiale, il est mobilisé dans l'armée de l'air. Il quitte la France après l'armistice pour rejoindre New York où il écrit son œuvre la plus connue, Le Petit Prince. Au printemps 1944, il entreprend des missions de cartographie et de reconnaissance aérienne en vue du débarquement en Provence. Le 31 juillet 1944, il disparaît en vol lors d'une de ses missions au-dessus de la Méditerranée. Ce n'est qu'au début des années 2000 que son avion a été retrouvé. Le Petit Prince est publié avec ses propres aquarelles à New York en 1943, puis en France en 1946. Ce conte philosophique est devenu un phénomène mondial. C'est l'histoire de la rencontre du narrateur, un aviateur en panne dans le désert, avec l'enfant qui l'habite, le Petit Prince. Celui-ci apprend au cours de l'histoire un secret très important, mais à la fois très simple. On ne voit bien qu'avec le cœur, l'essentiel est invisible pour les yeux.
Ah, a lovely phrase to finish with. L'essentiel est invisible pour les yeux.
Oui, une des plus belles citations, sinon la citation de Saint-Exupéry.
The quote from Saint-Exupéry. Yeah. Okay, let's find out a little more about Saint-Exupéry and we'll go through the text in detail. Now, there's one thing in this text, there are lots and lots of dates.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can work out all these dates and the numbers that apply to those dates. It's good practice for our listeners.
Ouais, bonne chance à tous alors.
Let's hear the first sentence.
Né à Lyon le 29 juin 1900, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry est un écrivain et aviateur français.
So, born in Lyon, and watch Lyon. Lyon, when you write it in French, mm-hmm. is spelled L-Y-O-N. But of course, we add an S in English for some yeah, very unknown yeah. reason.
Are there other towns or the cities like that?
I'm thinking about Marseille.
Yeah, Marseille takes an S as well in English.
In English, but no S in French.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was the date here?
Le 29 juin 1900.
That one's fairly straightforward. The 29th of June, 1900. Now, we were talking about the word juin. And I think I say it wrongly. I think I said it okay there, but
it was really good. Yeah, Mark, super.
What I've been saying, I think, until we started talking about this is juin. And that is basically saying juin, which is wrong because it's juin.
Yeah, the U sound does not exist in English.
Okay.
So it really is a sound that you've got to put your lips very flat.
Yep.
You know, as if you were giving a wee kiss to someone just before that. And that's the U sound. And
I until wish this then, was
until then, yeah, until then, you will not get the U sound correctly. Okay. Or one won't. You know, juin, juin, juin. And then you put just number one after it.
Juin.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Super, super, Marc.
Le 29 juin 1900.
Ah, oh, super.
Okay, so the 29th of June 1900. So who was he? Antoine de Saint-Exupéry est un écrivain.
A writer.
A writer. Et aviateur.
Français, what's aviateur, Marc?
An aviator, basically. We can say the word aviator in English. He was a pilot.
He was a pilot, that's it.
So let's find out a little more about his family.
Il est le fils de Jean et Marie de Saint-Exupéry et le troisième de cinq enfants.
So he's the son of Jean and Marie de Saint-Exupéry and he's the third of five children. Straightforward enough.
Dès sa jeunesse, il se passionne pour l'aviation.
This is lovely because the verb se passionner pour quelque chose means to be passionate about something or to be really, really interested in something. So here, il se passionne pour l'aviation.
Yeah, and dès sa jeunesse, I love that word dès because that can be confusing, you know, our listeners. It's not just a D-E-S, it's D-E-Grave-S.
Okay.
So, and what does it mean, dès something, Marc?
Well, it's from his youth.
Yeah, right from the very start of something.
Dès le début.
Yeah.
So, dès, and you can also say dès que, which is a slightly different meaning. It's as soon as, or something like that. So, dès que tu arriveras, nous sortirons au cinéma.
Très bien.
Okay, so as soon as you get here, note the future tense there.
Uh-huh. Dès que tu arriveras. J'ai tout noté.
Nous partirons pour le cinéma. We'll head out for the cinema. So, dès sa jeunesse, il se passionne pour l'aviation. From his youth, he was passionate about aviation, about planes.
Il obtient son baccalauréat en 1917 à Fribourg, en Suisse.
So he gets his baccalauréat, his final exam certificate, in which date?
1917, I could have said 1917.
So 1917, either 1917 or 1917. 1917, 1917 or 1917.
Très bien.
And he obtained his bac in Fribourg, in Switzerland.
Yeah. Et poursuit des études d'architecture avant de faire son service militaire dans l'armée de l'air à Strasbourg.
Okay, so he pursues architectural studies before doing something, before doing his military service in the Air Force in Strasbourg.
Yeah, that's
okay.
it.
So, avant de faire quelque chose, remember that is avant de plus infinitive. So, before listening to the news.
Avant d'écouter les informations.
I left the house.
J'ai quitté la maison. Je suis sorti.
A very strange example, Mark. I didn't like that one. Okay, but avant de faire quelque chose, before doing something.
And next we're going to get après. So that's really good.
Good.
Let's go for it. Après avoir obtenu son brevet de pilote en 1922, il est engagé pour distribuer le courrier en Afrique et en Amérique du Sud.
Okay, before we go into the translation of this section, just let's focus on that après avoir obtenu. Before we had avant de faire, before doing something, avant de plus infinitive. Now we've got après avoir obtenu. So it's après plus the infinitive, the auxiliary verb.
Yeah. And then your past participle. Yeah. Okay. And it's very different from avant.
Yeah. Especially because we've got two auxiliary verbs we could be talking about here. Well, we've got après avoir obtenu, because obtenir, of course, takes avoir. It's not one of our être verbs. But what if it were after leaving?
Après être sorti.
Après être sorti. Could we say après être sorti?
Yeah, I was saying it slowly. Après être sorti.
Okay.
Merci, Marc.
De rien. What happens with sorti in that case?
It's just an I.
Well, depends.
Ah, well, if it's a girl, then it's an I and an E.
Yeah.
And if it's plural, then you have to obviously adapt and put the ES or the S or the ES.
So basically, it agrees. The past participle has to agree with the subject in some way. So even though the subject may not have been mentioned specifically.
Exactly, you've got to remember
this
that.
This is why we need to think about those agreements. Après être sorti, we need to look at the next sentence to, or the next part of the sentence to know who it was that left in
but,
that case.
But here in our text, it's avoir, so you don't have to bother at all.
Exactly. No agreements with the past participle here. So after having obtained his brevet de pilote, what's that?
Qualification as a pilot.
Pilot license.
License, yes. Mm-hmm. Il est engagé pour distribuer le courrier en Afrique, en Amérique du Sud.
So he was employed.
Employed, yeah. Engagé, quite a nice meaning of engagé here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Literally engaged.
Yeah.
But he was employed in order to distribute mail in Africa and in South America. And did you get what year he got his pilot license in?
1922.
We're talking about 1922.
And if I did it like 1922, what would it be, Mark?
1922.
Très bien. So in English, we don't put the 100, do we?
No, we would just say but 1922.
But in French, they said 1922.
Think of it more like in 1922, when I crossed the ocean blue or something like that. Anyway, I think I'm getting carried away.
And see, we go to the years after 2000. Mm-hmm. You could say in 2009 in English.
Yep.
In French, you're more likely to say what?
2009.
Ouais, it's weird 2009. To say en 2009, ça marche, ça ne marche pas. You can say Vincent. Anyway. Well, unless you know him.
Indeed.
So, no, very interesting. After 2000, you cannot use that kind of a 100 thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so 1922, he started distributing mail in Africa and South America. And he also started doing something else at the same time.
Il commence en même temps à écrire des romans ainsi que des reportages journaliers, notamment sur la guerre civile en Espagne.
So at the same time, he starts to write novels ainsi que des reportages journaliers, so as well as reportages, journalistic reports, notamment, notably, sur la guerre civile en Espagne, on the Civil War
in Spain,
which was happening not in 1922, but at a later date than that. See, just before we go on, there's one thing that we've not mentioned yet, and it's absolutely crucial, because so far, throughout this text, and it's something that we're kind of taking for granted because we're used to reading this kind of text, but our listeners might be wondering, why on earth are we using all of these present tenses?
Le présent de narration.
This is the présent de narration. So it's, even though we're talking about the past, we're using present tenses. So, il commence en même temps. Il écrit des romans. Il est engagé pour distribuer. You're using present tenses even though we're referring to past times. Yeah. And that's when we're narrating things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of reserved for this type of text.
Of course. Does it happen as well? Does it exist in English? Can you use the narrative? When you do narrate, do you use the present or is it always the past you use?
I think in the kind of sort of information texts like this, I think we probably would use past tenses.
Yeah,
but I think in spoken English, to add a bit of flavour to your story you're telling, then sometimes you would use a present tense.
Wow.
So, you know, he comes in and then he tells me
of
this.
Course,
and
of course,
so that
yeah,
way
point,
you're giving
point,
a little bit more emphasis.
That's good. I like
okay,
that.
Other way around is in French, of course. Right, so let's move on and read the next section.
Pendant la Deuxième Guerre mondiale, il est mobilisé dans l'armée de l'air.
So during the Second World War, he is mobilized in the Air Force, l'armée de l'air.
Il quitte la France après l'armistice pour rejoindre New York, où il écrit son œuvre la plus connue, Le Petit Prince.
So he leaves France after the armistice, we'll come back to that in a moment, to rejoindre New York, literally to rejoin New York, but to go to New York, where he writes his first, sorry, not his first, but his most well-known work, Le Petit Prince. Mm-hmm. Just one little point about l'armistice. This is not the armistice at the end of the war. This is the armistice, the French armistice, which happened on the 22nd of June 1940.
Ah, so it's not referring to the one in May 1945.
Nope. This is when the armistice was signed in the railway carriages in Compiègne.
And when France surrendered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's just a little historical point there. It's important in the sort of whole sequence of events here, because we're going on now to talk about spring 1944.
Au printemps 1944, il entreprend des missions de cartographie et de reconnaissance aérienne en vue du débarquement en Provence.
Right, again, this is a little complicated because we're talking about historical facts here. Mm-hmm. So in spring 1944, he undertakes or undertook missions of cartography and reconnaissance. So he's looking at aerial reconnaissance and map making, yeah, en vue du débarquement en Provence. So let's first of all look at the grammatical point here, or the language point. En vue de quelque chose is in preparation.
Yeah, in anticipation.
So in anticipation of the Provence landings. Now, these were landings that were due to happen, I think, history is right.
The only débarquement I know is the one in Normandy.
Well, exactly. Yeah. These were supposed to happen at the same time, but they were postponed.
Right.
So Saint-Exupéry was involved in the reconnaissance missions in preparation for this. And then what happened?
Le 31 juillet 1944, il disparaît en vol lors d'une de ses missions au-dessus de la Méditerranée.
So, very sadly, on the 31st of July 1944, he disappears, or he's disappeared in flight during one of these missions, lors d'une de ses missions.
Yeah.
So, lors de means during or while, yeah, or yeah, while involved in.
Lors is a beautiful word, mm-hmm, though, and it's linked to lorsque.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a word I love teaching. You know, when everybody knows quand.
Yeah.
But it's quite nice to put a wee lorsque to say when, you know, lorsque. So it's, here would be during.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So il disparaît en vol lors d'une de ses missions au-dessus de la Méditerranée. So above the Mediterranean.
Ah, c'est triste.
Oui.
Ce n'est qu'au début des années 2000 que son avion a été retrouvé.
So it was only at the start of the decade of the first decade of the 21st century, the 2000s,
yeah,
que son avion a été retrouvé. So it was only then that his plane was found.
Oh, c'est bien triste tout ça. Le Petit Prince est publié avec ses propres aquarelles à New York en 1943, puis en France en 1946.
So 2 dates there. We're going back to talk about Le Petit Prince. It was published with the author's own watercolors, aquarelle or watercolors, and it was published first in New York in 1943 and then in France in 1946.
Ce conte philosophique est devenu un phénomène mondial.
So this philosophical tale has become or became, and a nice être verb, yep, there, the verb devenir.
Okay.
So it became or it has become a worldwide phenomenon.
C'est l'histoire de la rencontre du narrateur, un aviateur en panne dans le désert, avec l'enfant qui l'habite, le petit prince.
This is quite complicated, I have to say. C'est l'histoire de la rencontre du narrateur. So it's the story of the meeting of the narrator, mm-hmm, who is a pilot who has broken down in the desert with the child which inhabits him. It's quite complicated, that. Avec l'enfant qui l'habite. So the child that he has within.
Yeah.
And the child that he has within himself is le petit prince, the little prince.
It's very good. Very deep.
Very deep, yeah. Ooh. Okay, so let's continue our deep philosophical thoughts here with the end of the text.
Celui-ci apprend au cours de l'histoire un secret très important, mais à la fois très simple.
So, this one is tricky because it starts with celui-ci. And celui-ci refers to the last thing mentioned. Therefore, Le Petit Prince.
Yeah, the latter.
The latter one. So, celui-ci apprend au cours de l'histoire. So, the Petit Prince learns through the story un secret très important, a very important secret, mais à la fois très simple, but also a very simple secret at the same time, à la fois. And what is the secret?
That's the citation we were mentioning.
Tout à fait.
On ne voit bien qu'avec le cœur. L'essentiel est invisible pour les yeux.
Okay, so don't be thrown by the bien que in here, okay? Those of you who are familiar with subjunctives, forget that. This is not that.
No.
On ne voit bien qu'avec le cœur.
The ne and the que go together.
Exactly.
Here. And what's ne and que together?
It's only.
Yay.
So you only see well with the heart. Because l'essentiel, the essential things, est invisible pour les yeux, are invisible for the eyes.
Cannot be seen by the eyes. Wow.
So you can only see with the heart. The important things can't be seen with the eyes.
Ooh, c'est beau.
There's a lot in there. Okay, while we go and reflect on this, let us take a little break and we'll be back after the break with our phone-in.
C'est parti.
If you'd like to take your French that bit further, then you may consider signing up for one of our premium courses on the Coffee Break Academy. There's something for everyone, from absolute beginners up to advanced learners, and the premium materials include lesson notes, transcripts, video lessons, exercises, and vocabulary guides, depending on which course you opt for. Head over to coffeebreakacademy.com to find out more. Okay, we're back, and in this part of the show, this is where the Coffee Break French listener becomes the star of the show, and for this episode, we have a question from Keith. Now, stay tuned, because I'll be telling you how you can ask a question just after this part. So let's listen to Keith's question.
Hello, my name's Keith. I'm from Hertfordshire in the UK, a French learner for about 3 years, and I've been with Coffee Break French for just over a year now. My question relates really to the use of the past tense and the decision to use the imperfect or passé composé. I know there are a number of rules relating to that, but at times they do seem a bit jumbled. The question really is, how relevant is it? Do the French people forgive us if we get it wrong? How noticeable? And if you do have a magic guide for putting us right, that would be great. Thanks very much.
Okay, Keith, this is a very common question. Basically, because in English, very often, we don't have a different word for describing something that used to happen or something that happened on one occasion. I'm thinking, for example, I played the piano. That played is the same tense, regardless of whether you're talking about I played the piano when I was young or I played the piano this morning. In both cases, we say played in English, but in French, we would use two different tenses there. When I was young, I used to play the piano. If you can replace the played with used to play, then it would have to be an imperfect. But this morning, I played the piano. It's describing a narrative thing in the past. It's something that happened as part of a story. I played the piano and then I went outside. That is where you would use the perfect. Let's summarize where you use both the imperfect and the perfect quickly. First of all, to describe a habitual or ongoing action in the past, then you use the imperfect. So, for example, quand j'étais jeune, je lisais beaucoup. When I was young, I used to read a lot. We also use the imperfect to describe physical or emotional things in the past. Elle avait les yeux bleus. She had blue eyes. Il portait un chapeau. He was wearing a hat. Let's talk a little more about that idea of was doing something or were doing something. So, for example, I was speaking to my friend. Je parlais. Imperfect, avec mon ami, mon copain, ma copine, when something else happened. Now, when something else happened, that's back to the narrative. So there we're talking about an event, and that is where we would use the perfect tense. So je parlais avec ma copine quand le téléphone a sonné, when the phone rang. And that's our perfect tense, interrupting the imperfect. So our perfect tense is used to talk about what you have done. J'ai acheté le journal. I have bought the newspaper. But we can also translate that simply as I bought the newspaper. It depends on the context in English. And remember that it's not necessarily an avoir verb in French, because je suis allé au cinéma could mean I went to the cinema or I have gone to the cinéma too, using a have gone, because aller is, of course, an être verb. So our perfect tense is used to talk about what happened as part of the narrative. It's to talk about something that happens interrupting an ongoing activity, as we've said. Another example of that could be j'allais en ville, I was going into town, quand j'ai rencontré un ami, when I met a friend. So your perfect tense is interrupting your ongoing action. I hope that helps, Keith. And of course, the best thing to do for this is to read as much as you can, because then you'll recognize the tenses and you'll see how the tenses are used, and particularly the combination of tenses. Of course, in literature, if you're reading, you may well find that you're getting past historics. And we'll be looking at the past historic in a future episode of the magazine. But we'll leave it there for now with the imperfects and the perfects. Now, if you would like your question answered, then simply go to coffeebreakquestions.com. And that way you can ask a question of us here on the podcast, and we will do our best to answer it.
For our final section of this week's magazine, we are joined once again by Susie. Salut Susie, comment
Salut,
vas-tu?
Ça va.
J'ai bien aimé ton texte aujourd'hui. Hein?
Merci.
J'aime bien Saint-Exupéry, comme on a déjà dit. Okay, so what have you got for us today?
Well, you heard a quote from Le Petit Prince by mm-hmm. Saint-Exupéry in today's text, and we've got a few more famous quotes by Saint-Exupéry.
Des citations, hein?
Oui,
très bien,
ça.
J'aime bien les citations.
Moi aussi. So we'll see if our listeners can translate them.
Okay, so we'll give you some time to think about this after each quote. Let's start with the first quote, please. La première citation.
Tout objectif sans plan n'est qu'un souhait.
Okay, I like that. Can we hear it again?
Tout objectif sans plan n'est qu'un souhait.
Okay, we'll give you some time to think about this. So you were saying there, tout objectif, every objective or every goal, sans plan, without a plan, n'est qu'un souhait, is simply a wish. So if you want something to come to pass, then you need to have a plan. Let's hear it one more time.
Tout objectif sans plan n'est qu'un souhait.
Très bien. Okay, let's have another one.
Aimer, ce n'est pas se regarder l'un l'autre, c'est regarder ensemble dans la même direction.
Oh, c'est beau, c'est beau. Ok, encore une fois, s'il te plaît.
Aimer, ce n'est pas se regarder l'un l'autre, c'est regarder ensemble dans la même direction.
Ok, let's go through this again. Aimer, ce n'est pas se regarder l'un l'autre. That's quite tricky. L'un l'autre, it's to each other. So, aimer, loving, or love, ce n'est pas se regarder, it's not looking at each other, se regarder l'un l'autre, c'est regarder ensemble, it's looking together, dans la même direction, in the same direction. Let's hear it one more time, Susie.
Aimer, ce n'est pas se regarder l'un l'autre, c'est regarder ensemble, dans la même direction.
Très bien. Encore une?
Le langage est source de malentendus.
Ça, c'est vrai. Ça, c'est vrai. OK, encore une fois, s'il te plaît.
Le langage est source de malentendus.
So here we're talking about le langage, language, et source is the source de malentendus, of misunderstandings. However, I have to say that those misunderstandings in a language is what make learning a language fun, because you can have a laugh with the people that you're talking to, even if there are some malentendus. Let's hear it one more time.
Le langage est source de malentendus.
Très bien. Bon, merci beaucoup, Suzy.
De rien.
Et à la prochaine fois.
À la prochaine.
Another very interesting episode, Mark. It's so varied, I love it.
There's always something new to learn. And
well, all these new phrases, vocabulary, and that's fantastic.
I always say that when you're learning a language, it is not necessarily about keeping going forward, because there comes a point that you can't just go forward in a narrow path.
No,
you actually have to widen your path, and you have to bring in the cultural knowledge and the linguistic knowledge. It all comes together. So that's why we are creating these podcasts to help
and
you.
It was cultural, historical.
Absolutely. And grammatical. With our phone in and everything. Oh, there's lots here.
Okay, Mark, but can you remind us again how our listeners can get much more out of this?
Absolutely. You can access the premium version of this podcast, which will include the transcript of all of the French included in the text, and also the additional materials associated with our Coffee Break French podcast. You can find out more about that by heading to coffeebreakfrench.com and just look for the information about our podcast there. For now, that is it. That's where we're going to leave you. And we hope that you've enjoyed this episode and that perhaps if you've not already read Le Petit Prince, that you pick it up and try to work your way through it. It's a fantastic work of literature, un chef-d'œuvre.
Ouais, je suis sûr que cela vous plaira.
Tout à fait. Merci beaucoup et n'oubliez pas que l'essentiel est invisible pour les yeux.
Super. Au revoir.
You have been listening to a production of the Coffee Break Academy for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2019 Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2019 Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.